The most valuable asset in life is your time. This was the most important lesson that Admission Straight Talk guest Dr. Nadia Afridi learned while in the Columbia Executive MBA program. In my 20 years as an admissions consultant, I learned that time is an absolutely invaluable asset when you apply to graduate business schools. Welcome to the 276th episode of Admission Straight Talk, the podcast dedicated to graduate admissions and helping you approach the application process thoughtfully and successfully. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. My mission and passion is to help you show that you both fit in at your target schools and are a standout in the applicant pool. The result? You get a message one day that causes you to jump up and down shouting, "Yes, I'm in." Not only in, but in at the best program for you. So how do you get in? How does time influence whether you get in? Well, I can tell you that I have seen applicants who manage their time well get in at higher rates than those who don't. It's just that simple. I've seen applicants who end up applying late in the cycle or at the last minute, and it hurts their chances of acceptance. So today, I'm going to do a solo episode. It's just going to be me, probably be a little shorter than usual, and we're going to devote this podcast to how this precious and finite asset can help you get accepted when applying to graduate programs. Now, the problem can lack of time can be caused by several factors. One, applicants decide one day that they want to apply to graduate school or they want to attend graduate school, and they try and do all the work necessary in a very short period of time, too short a period of time to do it well. The result, well, there could be many negative outcomes there. First of all, they make a poor decision. They haven't done the necessary homework in terms of evaluating their post-degree goals, which schools are best to attend, which programs are most appropriate given their goals. They could, again, there's a greater chance of rejection or acceptance at schools that aren't optimal. They aren't as good as they could be. And then they might have to reapply, which involves additional cost and time, or paying rush fees, or having to take exams more than one time, you know, that kind of stuff. Now, sometimes applicants start the process with plenty of time. They might start thinking about their graduate school as freshmen in college even. But procrastination or life gets in the way of the application process. I just heard a saying today that life is what happens when we plan, when we're busy planning. And that on some level is too true. Life can get in the way of messing up your plans. But planning can help a lot of things, and especially when it comes to time management. So what happens when things get in the way of your plans and your timeline gets postponed? Well, the most common cause is probably having to retake an aptitude test like the MCAT, the LSAT, the GMAT, the GRE, whatever it is. And not allowing for that possibility because you think you're a good test taker or you think you're going to have enough time to study or whatever. And then all of a sudden, instead of being primed and ready to go, it's like, oops, I either have to apply to programs I'm not as interested in, or I have to retake the exam and apply at a later round, late in the cycle, or perhaps even next cycle. While it never makes sense to submit less than your best in terms of your graduate school application, if you can submit either early in the application cycle for rolling admissions like medical school or in earlier rounds for most MBA programs, you are applying when the class is wide open. There are interview slots and more seats available for you. Think of musical chairs. When you start the game, there are lots of seats. It's easier to grab one. But as each one is pulled away, it's harder and harder to get. So I have some rather bold recommendations to make in terms of time and allowing yourself the appropriate time that will enable you to submit your best and to have your application be an outstanding reflection of the best that you can offer both your graduate program and your chosen career. For MBAs, I would suggest that you allow 6 to 12 months for research, planning, and test prep before you want to submit your application. That means, ideally, that if you want to submit an application in September 2019 to matriculate in September 2020, you should be starting this process shortly, signing up for a GMAT or GRE course, determining what are your goals post-MBA, thinking about the programs that you want to attend, perhaps trying to visit some if you're in the neighborhood, or making plans very intentionally to visit some. For medical school applicants, I think the process is frankly more demanding, and I suggest that you allow 12 to 36 months of taking classes, MCAT prep, volunteering before actually applying. Now, 12 to 36 months is obviously a longer range. It would depend on whether you have your science prerequisites or not. If you don't have them, that's 36 months we're talking about. Post-bac program, whether informal or formal, getting experience, clinical, research, community service, doing the things that you need to do to show that you want to serve society as a physician. If you already have those things under your belt, maybe you are a junior in college or a sophomore in college, or you're planning to apply in the summer of 2019 to apply in 2020, then okay, you're more on the 12-month cycle, a little under 12 months. Again, take the MCAT. You need to know that score. I don't want to say get out of the way, because you can't just wave it away. You have to study hard for it. It's a very difficult exam, and you want the best score you can possibly get. Visit the schools. We're going to get more into what you have to do a little bit later, but this is all before, again, 12 to 36 months to prepare yourself to get ready to apply. For law school, I think it's much more like MBA school. Allow 6 to 12 months for researching programs, test prep. Hopefully you have relevant community service or work experience, or something that requires a lot of writing, because that's what law schools are going to be looking for. But they're not as demanding in that area as our MBA programs or MD programs, though they will want to see something relevant that you've done. For academic master's and PhD programs, allow at least 6 to 12 months for research and test prep. The GRE counts, whatever test is required by your specific specialty counts. It could be longer if you also have to get volunteer or research or some kind of practicum experience before applying. It's harder to give a rule, frankly, with graduate programs that just kind of catch all category, because there's just so much variety in it. But I think you get the idea here that it's very difficult to decide 1 month you want to apply and apply successfully next month. You're going to have to prep for usually the GRE, perhaps the GMAT or another test. You should be researching schools to make sure that they support your needs. And don't forget, you're going to need a post-degree goal. Okay, so what do these time frames mean? They mean you will have the time to prepare for and, if necessary, retake that aptitude test. If you don't need to retake it, if you prepare well and you get the score you want, fantastic. Go take a vacation. But if you're much better off having a few extra weeks or months for research or relaxation or whatever, than being under the gun, having to take it again, and not having enough time to then apply effectively. You also need to research the programs and visit those that you are most interested in and those that are most feasible for you to visit. Obviously, if you're outside the United States and you want to apply to an American program, it can get very expensive and time-consuming to do that. But if you, let's say, are in Los Angeles and want to attend a program in the Bay Area or vice versa, or if you're in New York and want to attend a program in Boston or Washington, D.C., then I really think it makes sense, given the investment you're about to make the effort, take the time, and yes, invest a little more money in making sure you visit the campus, you like the vibe, you like what they have to offer you professionally, and that it's the right program for you. Now, some of you, depending again on the program that you're applying to, may really have to get in some volunteer work or experience, or work experience. It depends on the program that you're applying to, and you should look into that and make sure that you have it before you apply. And again, allow time for it. And then, of course, plenty of time for your essay, statement of purpose, addenda, diversity statements, whatever, and we're going to get to those in a minute. There are other key elements you need for a graduate, the other key element that you need to know for a graduate program, and I've kind of alluded to this already, is a post-degree goal. Unlike undergraduate school, unlike college, where you don't really have to know what you want to get out of the experience other than an education, some fun, some independence. Graduate schools want to know, with the possible exception of law school, and I think that's changed quite a bit, that you have a good reason for wanting to attend their program. And they want to know what you intend to do with the education, that they can provide the education you need to achieve your goals. So assuming you know your post-degree goal, and once you know your test score, and since you already know your GPA, you can move forward in choosing schools. Now, some of you may be thinking, wait a minute, you just mentioned GPA. You haven't mentioned GPA at all yet. And you're right, I haven't. What if you're out of school and your GPA isn't something that you're super proud of or that you feel really reflects your abilities? I gave a whole podcast on that at accept.com/137. I'm not going to go into that now. That is also something you have to deal with and something you have to allow time for. Again, that podcast would be accept.com/137. Now, let's start talking. Okay, so you're now ready to apply. What kind of time and what kind of work effort is required? Let's talk about the essays for a second. Most MBA programs and almost all graduate programs ask for a statement of purpose, and they want to know the purpose of your studies, as I just mentioned. If you have no purpose, no goal, no solid reason for pursuing the degree that you're applying for, you will find that essay extraordinarily difficult, if not impossible, to write. How can you write a statement of purpose without a purpose? How can you write a goals essay without a goal? And if you come to accept it and say, gee, I don't know what to say, we will tell you to go figure it out. We'll give you homework and say this is something that you really need to research. Now, we do have people with career guidance experience on staff, and you can definitely talk to them and work with them to help clarify your goals. But you will need some kind of goal for most graduate programs. For medicine, I think you just need more general direction. You don't need to know the exact specialty you want. And for law, again, they don't really expect you to know in detail what you want to do, just that you have had some experience with the law and that you know what you want to do requires a legal education. Graduate education, for most of us, is way too expensive to enroll in graduate coursework for the sheer joy of learning. Yeah, it sure would be great, but it usually is just too much money. If you aren't clear on your purpose, allow time for more research, as I mentioned, and for informational interviews to clarify your goals and the kind of graduate education you seek. You need that purpose in order to choose programs worth investing in, and you will probably need it to apply effectively. Also, if at all possible, as I mentioned before, allow time to visit the campuses closest to you or that you are most interested in. Or at least, and if you can't visit, and here's the point I really want to make now, at least make it a point to talk to current students and recent alumni. A graduate education is one of the largest investments you're going to make. It is probably the largest investment you've made to date. And it pays to ensure you're going to apply to and hopefully attend a program that will help you achieve your goal and where you'll also be happy. Okay, so now you're at the point where you know why you want to apply, where you want to apply, and you have assessed your competitiveness and shortlisted schools. How long will that shortlist be? Well, if you're applying to medical school, that short list could be easily 20 programs. And if you're in a state like California, which has a lot of state universities, or Texas, it could be longer. If we're talking about most other graduate specialties, it's more likely to be 4 to 8 programs. Now, I'm going to give some very specific suggestions for time management at this point, going forward. And I may shock some of you a bit with the time I recommend you allow. But let's be real. Most of you are working full-time or working and going to school. You are fitting in the applications into an already very busy life. And the writing portion of the applications, even filling in the boxes, takes time. But writing in particular requires rewriting. It benefits from time in between drafts, revisions, and proofing. Again, plan on this taking a long time, and you won't have any unpleasant surprises. If you end up with free time, that'll be a very pleasant surprise. Time is the most valuable asset at this point in your application process. Use it wisely, and you won't be slapping together critically important essays in a mad rush minutes before the deadline, when servers are likely to crash due to too many people submitting at the last minute, who also procrastinated, and you're also likely to crash due to lack of sleep. Now, let's talk about programs like most MBA grad and law programs that do not have a common application system. That means you need to write different applications for each school. For law school, you may be able to adapt a personal statement for different schools. This process will probably take 1 to 2 months total, depending upon how frequently you sit down to write and how many schools you plan to apply to. I suggest you allow 2 to 3 weeks for writing the personal statement, your first draft of the personal statement or your first real personal statement, and possibly also for diversity statements or addenda. Allow an additional 1 week per school, at least, for adapting these essays as necessary to different programs and completing those pesky application boxes. Now, I know many schools use application systems, so you don't have to constantly be filling in those boxes, and that's great, but there will always be some nuances that are going to be specific to schools. Also allow time to review and edit, or draft and edit, your resume and to contact and prep your recommenders. For MBA programs, you need to write separate essays for most programs, for most schools. Sometimes you'll be able to adapt previously written essays for later schools that you're applying to, and sometimes you won't. Some essays are just so different that, yeah, you may be able to use a paragraph or two from a previously written essay, but some of them you really have to start from scratch. I recommend you allow at least 2 to 3 weeks, maybe even a month for the first school, and maybe 1 to 2 weeks for each school after that. If you gasp at that recommendation, remember, you are busy and writing takes time. Plus, if you're applying to highly competitive programs, you need a highly competitive application. That highly competitive application requires thought, rewriting, and time. But you may say, I want to apply round one. I want the round one advantage. And this show is airing in mid-September when some of the round one deadlines have passed and others are, you know, tomorrow or next week. There's no advantage to submitting a half-baked mediocrity during round one. For next year's applicants, you can plan to apply round one. You can get the GMAT or GRE done well before essay questions are released and start working on those essays as soon as they come out. You'll have done all the pre-essay stuff in advance and be poised for an excellent application effort. For this year's applicants, however, if you are well along in the drafting and editing for your round one applications, great. If you aren't, then just move forward to round two applications, which will mostly have deadlines in January. You will then have that most valuable asset, time. You'll have the time to submit your best when those deadlines stare you in the face, provided you work steadily from now until then. If you aren't well into revising now for round one, don't try to draft something in a hurry. Apply round two and submit an application you are proud of. Now, other graduate students, including engineering, psych, and a broad array of master's and PhD applications, you should be working on your essays now. If you are applying in the 2018-19 cycle and have gotten the test score that you will apply with, know what you want to do with the degree and how the programs you're applying to will help you do it, you are ready to write a dynamite statement of purpose. Get to work. Don't wait. We're here and ready to help you. Many of you will face December and January deadlines, occasionally November, especially if there are some scholarships you're interested in. But most of you are looking at December and January deadlines. You're also applying to multiple programs. I can assume your post-degree goal will not change with the school, but your reasons for wanting to attend each school should be specific to that school and reflect your knowledge of the program and how it will help you achieve your goals. So don't ever write, I want to attend this program because of its top-notch faculty, outstanding student body, and innovative curriculum. Because that could be said about any program, you know, that you're trying to butter up to. That's meaningless. You want your reasons for attending the school to be very, very specific and concrete. If you haven't already done so, line up recommenders. Prepare a one-pager that you can give them about the schools you are applying to, perhaps highlighting something you're proud of that they may want to mention in their letter of recommendation and you don't want them to forget to mention, and their deadlines for submitting letters. Make it as easy as possible for them. That goes for you too, MBA applicants applying round two. Now, let's turn to medical school applicants. If you want to apply next summer for 2020 matriculation and have not yet taken the MCAT or are not satisfied with your score, schedule an exam such that you will be fully prepared. In other words, don't rush your MCAT prep. You can take it in January or February. Hopefully you'll do great on it because you'll have been preparing all these months and you'll have really studied hard. But if you take it in January, February and are not satisfied with the outcome, you will have time for a retake such that you'll still have the second score by the end of May or at the latest early June. Alternatively, if you simply, you know, your course load or your other responsibilities won't allow you to really study now for the MCAT, alternatively, plan to take the exam next summer and consider waiting to apply until the summer of 2020 with a 2021 matriculation date. The risk of being repetitious, test prep takes time and benefits from it. You practice, practice, practice. It really helps. Give yourself the time necessary to do well in the MCAT and to avoid applying late in the cycle because you need to retake over the summer. I can't tell you how many calls I've had in July and August, and I probably will have them in September too, with people who said I didn't apply when I wanted to because I had to retake the MCAT. Happens every year. The good news is that most schools are now taking your highest MCAT. You have that option, which wasn't always available. So again, if you can study now and take the exam in early winter without compromising your grades, without letting other important responsibilities go, that's my recommendation, and you'll be ready to apply in summer 2019. If that doesn't look viable, well, then take the exam at the end of summer 2019, after a summer where you hopefully were really able to devote a lot of time to studying. Let's assume for now that you have your MCAT and are applying DO. Well, the DO cycle runs a little bit later than the MD cycle, so get cracking. You still have the time to apply to osteopathic medical schools. And if you have everything else that you need to apply, then proceed if you've shadowed DOs, etc. If you're planning to apply to allopathic medical school next summer and have an MCAT that you're satisfied with, I suggest you start writing your personal statement and most meaningful experience essays over winter break. You can always tweak them if something significant happens close to application time. But if you get these drafted, at least, if not polished in December, January, you'll be primed to apply in early June when the medical school classes are wide open. Time will be on your side. You'll also be able to give recommenders a copy of your personal statement. Many benefits accrue when you do start this process that early. I'm not saying that you can't apply if you write your personal statement in May or June. You certainly can. But if we're talking about having the most time on your side, then get it done early. I also suggest that you spend time between winter break and June when MCAS opens, or between July when secondaries are going to go out, researching programs and taking notes on those programs. You may also want to start journaling or at least taking notes about experiences that you may want to write about or talk about when you move into the school-specific secondary and interview phases of the application process for medical school. Also use some of this time for pre-writing secondaries. You can find many secondary essay questions with tips at Accepted, and I'll link to them from the show notes at accepted.com/276. You will quickly see that some essays recur, and you can have at least some drafts about community service experiences, leadership experiences, why you want to pursue the area of medicine you want to pursue, how you will contribute to the diversity of your class, and much more. Once secondary applications start to arrive, they will pour in. They will pour in a deluge. Using your time to pre-write will give you the ability to turn around the secondaries quickly and well, preferably within 2 weeks of receipt. This is one stage of the process where you need to act quickly and without compromising quality. Pre-writing will save you time and give you that ability. Now, obviously, when you have the pre-written essays, you'll adapt them to specific schools, because the point of the secondaries is to show fit with specific schools. But having something that you can adapt, edit, and adapt is much better than staring at a blank screen for every single secondary. You'll still have to write some scratch, no question, because you want to put your best foot forward. But having at least some of the more common essays pre-written will save you a lot of time. So whether we're talking about law school, grad school, medical school, or business school, you need time to apply effectively, efficiently, confidently, and successfully. Time will enable you to present an application that reflects the best you. Thanks again for listening. This is Admission Straight Talk, produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week, and next week we'll also have a special guest. Take care.
Our theme music is provided by podcastthemes.com.